turning our attention now to a number of different issues being dealt with by government. One is the upcoming St. Patrick's Day celebrations, and questions had been raised, again raised in the Dáil yesterday, with calls for the Taoiseach to avoid or not to go to America for the traditional trip for St. Patrick's Day and meet with US President Donald Trump, given the volatility of what's happening in the United States day by day, whether it's protests or whether it's reneging on deals to do with tariffs and the breakdown in the transatlantic relationship between the US and the EU. With me in the line to talk about these things is Neil Richmond, Minister for State, Department of National Development and Diaspora. Neil, good morning to you and thanks for joining us on the programme. Can I first ask you about that St. Patrick's Day trip? This was never really going to be prevented or stopped, was it? The government were always going to go ahead with trips around the world, as well as particularly trips to the United States.
Absolutely, and in fact, Jerry, this year we'll see us launch the largest St. Patrick's Day trade mission in many a time, including to the US, with 9 government ministers and Oireachtas officials, such as the Ken Corlett, going to the United States. Look, I can't understate for an instant how important this opportunity is for a small country like Ireland, that we have the complete attention of the world on our national day. There's very few others who have that opportunity, and it gives us a chance to not just send ministers and government officials to the United States. As I said, there'll be 9 going to 15 different states, but also to capital cities and countries that are our key partners around the world. It's an amazing economic opportunity. It's a huge political responsibility. And now it's time when the world is, look, I'll be quite frank, the world's a delicate place. It's very volatile. Now is the time where we do need to be in the room with the President of the United States, regardless who he is. And I have to remark, the vast majority of people called for a boycott 2 years ago when Joe Biden was in the White House as well. So we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility. We don't just show up when it's easy. And this is a great chance to bring Ireland on the road, not just for a singular day, but for a full week. This will be my 4th St. Patrick's Day trip as a minister. And the opportunities are always lead to huge benefits for Ireland in the long term.
Do you not, though, understand the concerns being expressed? Like, this is a lot different to 2 years ago. This is a US president who's almost openly belligerent against the European Union and our interests, and also is overseeing and presiding over, you know, executions in the streets of American cities.
Well, I'll just say 2 things with regard to that. This is the time that, on one hand, we need to go to the White House to make sure that we get our very clear opinions and values of. And we all remember how Taoiseach Enda Kenny stood up very clearly and laid out what Ireland's stance was on immigration the last time Donald Trump was president. But secondly, we have very clear interests. There are thousands of people employed across the country, hundreds of thousands of people, by very clear American commercial interests. So it's not just about going to the White House, to the Oval Office. It's the full suite of economic and political engagements that go with that, where our ministers, led by our Taoiseach, not just to Washington, but he's also going to Philadelphia, can engage with our business interests, but also the very large Irish diaspora of over 36 million people who are in the United States, many of whom my office is inundated with reps from, who are really concerned by the activities of ICE and the very, I'm struggling to find the words, the very callous shift in American immigration policy in recent months. And they want to see their government leaders, particularly those who are undocumented, being there for them. We provide the consular assistance. We work with the various immigration alliances across the United States to provide support in many regards for the Irish, who are very worried about that regime. But also, it is an opportunity for us to say quite clearly what we believe in, why we believe it. And I think it's too easy just to sit at home, send off a social media post and earn the ire of the president. You go, you front up, you look the man in the eye, you tell them what you think, and you also, at the same time, make sure that you do the best to protect the interests of your country in every regard.
Okay, on a separate issue that also affects, I suppose, our international reputation, your government has decided to reject a recommendation from the Oireachtas Committee to have a formal legal review before Irish troops are sent abroad on peacekeeping missions once the triple lock is abolished. The Cabinet approved plans to push ahead with the abolition of the triple lock, which requires UN approval before Irish troops are sent abroad on peacekeeping missions. So you're going ahead with it. Now, the opposition have vowed to fight this every step of the way.
And as is their right, but at the end of the day, they need to be able to tell their constituents and their voters why they think it's okay, on one hand, to condemn an American president, but yet still make sure that the United States has a veto of where we send the men and women of our defence forces on peacekeeping missions, as they have under the current triple lock. And indeed, one of the reasons why the UNIFIL mission is wrapping up in 18 months' time is because the United States wouldn't allow it be reconfirmed through the UN Security Council. We have been quite clear, particularly in Fine Gael, this has been party policy for over 20 years, that we want to be proactive players in the world, players who believe in peace. And at the moment, we can't send any more than 12 troops to Ukraine to train Ukrainian civilians in landmine clearing activity. We want to review that. Our Dáil is sovereign, we'll have a vote of the Dáil, we'll have a vote of the government. They'll, of course, be in line with UN mandates. But let's don't forget that the United Nations hasn't sent a new peacekeeping mission in over 10 years. In fact, a number have been blocked. We want to make sure that we can engage with UFOR and other like-minded partners to stand for peace, to stand for the global order. And if the opposition want to fight that, that's their policy. We respect it. But we are very much pursuing a different one.
What do you say? You mentioned Fine Gael party policy there. What do you say to the accusations levelled against your party and this government that you're using these current crises, the breakdown in the transatlantic relationship between the US and the EU, to push for what you wanted all along? Increased militarisation, the calls for an EU army, increased defence spending in Ireland, that it's the wrong direction to go in. More money for arms dealers, less money for other needed services, and a more dangerous world as a result. What's your response to that accusation that's been levelled at you in the Dáil and elsewhere?
Yeah, and there's a few things to say that. First and foremost, this isn't something that we've dreamt up overnight. We had a full consultation on the future of Irish defence policy going back to 2019, led by the bones of this government. Crucially, no one wants an EU army. We're not calling for an EU army. And if people were saying that we're diverting funds to the security and defence in ahead of other areas, I would take that if we weren't. But we have record investment in housing, health, education, all the key facets. But we want to make sure that Ireland's interests are protected, that we are a secure country. Ultimately, once upon a time, it was enough to lock the front door. Then we all got house alarms. Then we got monitored alarm systems. This is the same with the security of our state. We all have a responsibility to Irish taxpayers and citizens to make sure they're safe. We were the victims of a vicious hack nearly 3 years ago that took down our health system. We need to invest in the systems, in the security that can protect the livelihoods of Irish people.
And that's why you'll continue to push on this line despite that opposition, that this is and the accusation that you're weakening or watering down or ultimately will get rid of our neutrality as a result.
We have no intention to get rid of our military neutrality, and nothing that we're doing is seeking to get rid of our military neutrality. But if you want to be a military neutral state, you do need to invest in your security systems. If you want to be an active player for peace on the global stage, you have to make sure that you can actually send peacekeepers. After 2027, there will just be two UN-mandated peacekeeping missions left in the world. There are other opportunities within the European Union region that will be of very great interest to our defence forces that we believe we have a responsibility to play a part in. That's why we want to pursue with this legislation. It was in our manifesto. It was in the programme for government. We have a mandate in the Dáil. We'll take on the concerns of the opposition, but it is okay when political parties have differences of opinion. People can vote for one or the other. We're very much just doing what we said that we would do to the Irish people when we ran for election.
One final question for you, Minister. Something else that was signed off and launched yesterday was the National Retrofit Plan 2026. $558 million for upgrade and retrofit homes, insulation grants increased to 2,000, cavity walls and 1,800 euro for 1,800 euro for attics. Look, it sounds positive. It needs to be done, particularly for older homes. It needs to be made affordable for people to make that decision to do this work. But are we going to have the labour force to be able to deliver this plan?
I definitely think we will do. Now, these grants are very attractive for many people who perhaps have bought their first home but now find it very cold and it needs a lot of work. That's what we brought in, targeting an additional 70,000 homes on top of the 58,000 homes received grants last year. So we were able to do 58,000 homes last year. We have no doubt that we should be able to achieve those numbers. Huge investment has been put in, first and foremost, in terms of new apprentices coming on stream. We see people working in construction receiving record levels of pay, and over 1,000 people came here on work permits. It is a challenge here. I'm not going to hide the challenge, but we need more and more people working in our trades. And I know a lot of young people are looking at their CAO forms at the moment. And I would encourage anyone across the country to really consider the manual trades as a brilliant career and a brilliant opportunity.
Okay, Minister Neil Richmond, we'll leave it there.